We're starting Parshas Balak, everybody. Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Here's the line. We're already in the second blessing slash curse of Bilam. Bilam has already gone once. It didn't work. He went a second time to curse Klal Yisrael, and it didn't work. In the middle of this second bracha that he gives us, he says the following. He says, Kilo Nachash Biyakov. There is no Nachash. We'll talk about this. But there is no superstitions among Yaakov. Lo Kesem Biyisrael. Ksamim. Doesn't work. Magics don't work against Bnei Yisrael. Ko'es, ye'amer li'akov li'Yisrael ma'po'el. At this time, there will be a time in the future, at this time right now, it is said of Yaakov and Yisrael, what is God doing right now? So the questions over here are obvious. Number one, look at this line. Yaakov, then Yisrael, and then Yaakov Yisrael. What's going on over here? Why do we have to mention both names? And not only both names, four times in the pasuk we mention a name over here. Number two, what does this mean that there's no magics or superstitions among Bnei Yisrael? Is that true? Is that something that's there? Or does it mean that they don't get affected by it? What exactly do those words mean? And in the end, Ma Paul Kale, I want to tell you what God does. What does it mean, what God does? What exactly are we referring to and what are we getting at over here? So Rashi says the following. Bilam is praising Bnei Yisrael. Bilam is going up to Bnei Yisrael and saying, there is no one among your people that's into superstitions and into magics. No one among you is like that. And that is such a praise to everybody. How could it be that nobody wants to be involved with that? Rashi goes on to say there's no need for either one of these things. Because whenever they wanted to know something, you wanted to know something about the future, whatever, all you had to do is go to the Nevi'im. Go to the prophets or the Urim Bitumim. You could find out everything you needed to know. There's no need for magics. We have other ways of finding out about the future. A direct line, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the praise of Klal Yisrael. We don't need the magics. We get it in a different way.
He doesn't refer to that as
magic? I'm sorry?
He doesn't refer to that as magic?
So Urim Bitumim, we'll call it through Derech HaKedusha instead of Derech HaTumah. You're right, it is magic. Yeah, yeah. But is Derech HaKedusha magic as opposed to anything else? The Sifsei Chachamim reads the Pasuk like this. He says, they would never do Nichush. Lo Nachash B'Yakov. They would never do Nichush. Lo Kesem B'Yisrael. They wouldn't do Kesem because at a time when they would need to know this stuff, when they would get involved with this stuff, they'll simply be told by their Nevi'im what they were going to do. That's a simple idea. And that's Ka'esi Amer. It will be told to them what they need to do. And now we can understand something. Everybody knows that Shaul HaMelech went to a Balas Ov. When Shaul HaMelech did not get any dreams, he couldn't ask the Urim Bitumim, and he had no Nevi'im that were telling him what to do. So everybody knows that what he did was he went to a Balas Ov. It happened to be Avner's mother, his general of the army, his mother. Avner's mother was the Balas Ov, but he went to the Balas Ov and he said, what am I supposed to do? So the shot behind this is like this. Says the Sifsei Chachamim, and I think I'm extrapolating, but I think it's obvious. He thought that the Psak Halacha is like this. They don't do magics. Why don't they do magics? They don't get involved with these types of things. Why? Because they don't need to. They don't need to get involved with these magics. But if they need it, then it's mutter. If you don't have a Navi to go to, if you don't have Ruach HaKodesh or the Urim Bitumim to go to, then go ahead, you have this. This is the ability that you have to do. Shaul HaMelech said, so I can go to a Balas Ov. I shouldn't go to a Balas Ov. I should have a Navi. But if there's no Navi available, no worries. I got this. This is going to be good enough. That's the concept that they understood from over here, and that's what they were saying. Says this Sifsei Chachamim, that's perfect. That's the idea. What it was. He thought it was a heter. We don't paskin that way. You can never go to Balas Ovs. You can never go and do Yidoni or any of the magics or anything like that. We can't do that. But this is the concept. The Ibn Ezra, the Sforno, the Rashbam, many of the Balei Tosfos, they all say like Rashi. They all say that the concept is that they're not involved in magic. They don't want to do magic. They don't need this magic. That's the concept behind it. The Ayelas HaShachar is the Klal Yisrael doesn't care. It's not that they could still know through the Nevi'im, the way Rashi said it. So we don't care. You ask us to tell about the future. Listen, all of us here want to know where we're going to be in 10 years from now. Every single person wants to know what's going to be 10 years from now. Hopefully Mashiach will be here, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael. But we all want to know what's going to be. What's going to be 10 years, or where are we going to be 10 years from now? Everybody wishes to see that, right? But that's what Shachar says, we're not going to do anything about it. The praise of the Jews is that we care, and yet we still say to ourselves, but we're not going to do it. We're not going to do anything there. We deserve a bracha for sitting back and not getting involved in things that we know we shouldn't get involved with. Not manipulating anything. Not doing things that we know are wrong. The Shach says all the nations of the world were looking at the Jews and they couldn't understand what was being accomplished here. They saw that the Jews had defeated the Egyptians, they had done this, that, and the other. They couldn't understand how in the world did these guys do this. So they looked at it and they said, they have to be doing it through magic. Paro knew it wasn't magic, right? We say, etzpa'alo kimhi. The Khartoumim understood that. But the other people didn't know. So these magicians were going around saying, oh, they do magic? Said Balak and Bilam. Maybe we can do something as well. They thought that there was something there. Here, Bilam declares that they were wrong. There's no magic here. Lo nachash b'Yaakov, lo kesem b'Yisrael means etzba lo kimhi. There is nothing that B'nai Yisrael has. Their mun is from God. The Be'er Shomirim is from God. The Anani HaKavod are from God. This is not magic. This doesn't work like magic. It doesn't look like anything. You thought that they were working through magic. You thought that magic could defeat them. It's impossible. These guys are not involved with this stuff whatsoever. That's the line that's used by the Shachal HaTorah itself. And in fact, who better to say this than Bilam? Who was Bilam? Now we know he was one of the chief advisors of Paro back in Mitzrayim. Now, as a timeout, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Bilam only lived to the age of 33 or 34. If he lived only to the age of 33, 34, this was not the Bilam in Mitzrayim. Because the Jews had already been in the desert, you assume, for 40 years already. So this is not the Bilam who was in Mitzrayim. If Bilam lived longer than that, then this could be the Bilam Mitzrayim. But not only that, there is an opinion that says, it's not the Gemara Sanhedrin Kuf test, but it's brought down by Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that Bilam is, come on, you all have this,
Lavan.
Lavan Arami. So there's no one better, because Lavan said about Yaakov. Lavan looked at Yaakov and said, Nichashti, I did my magics. I did everything I was supposed to do here. Vayibarcheni Hashem biglalecha. And God is blessing me, he said, because of you. He said, Yaakov, I know that I'm the one who does magic. He knows that Yaakov wasn't involved with this whatsoever. There's no one better than Bilam to say about the Jews that they don't get involved in Nichushim and this type of stuff. That's not them. And that's why he said right before this, El Motzi Al Mitzrayim, God took them out of Egypt. It's not the Jews themselves. Now that's one way of understanding it. Yeah, Jake.
Well, wouldn't Lavan say that Yaakov used his sticks and
the little stuff,
yeah,
you know, in order to make it happen? So it's funny, even though Yaakov was doing that crazy stuff by putting the sticks in the water and making the sheep give birth, still Lavan didn't understand that as being magic. He saw it as something different. He wasn't bothered by that. So it shows you something, that this was not a normal form of magic of whatever Yaakovina was doing. And it wasn't, that wasn't even a chashash, it wasn't even a chashad that he had on Yaakovinu, because otherwise he would have said it. He would have said, you're using magic on me, how could you use magic on me? That apparently was not an issue. That shouldn't have been something out there. Now the Ramban learns it a little bit differently. There's a second understanding that we have over it. That's all Rashi, that they don't get involved in magic. Here's number two. The Ramban says, Balak sent Bilam ksumim biyadam. The magic stuff in their hands, so they could show Bilam and say, see, we have the ability to defeat the Jews, we have all this stuff right over here. Bilam is now saying, none of it works. No magic works against the Jews. We've been saying up until now that the Jews won't do magic, that everything's from God. The Ramban is saying the opposite. No magic affects the Jews. The concept over here, everything that's on them is already decreed by God. Ma poel kel. What does God want? That's the decision that's being made. But magic has no effect on them. You could do whatever you want. It's not going to work. There's nothing that's going to happen to them. It's not going to be that way. And only at the end of days. I'm sorry?
Paro's advisors.
Paro's advisors. With what?
They turned the stick into the snake.
Yeah, but it didn't affect the Jews. I definitely hear Yishmael. No, but it didn't affect the Jews. It was nothing that they did that affected Jews. Yeah, 100%, but it didn't affect anyone. There was nothing. If a magician would have gone ahead and taken a stick and made it into a snake to swallow up a Jew, it wouldn't have happened. That would not have happened. That's what it means. It's impossible to be able to affect them. Mm-hmm. Only at the end of days, will that be realized by the nations. And that's what he's saying. Ka'ace. At that time in the end, yea, Omer Yisrael, everybody will see how awesome everything is.
According to that, can't you say everybody has everything decreed already?
100%.
So how about just the Jews?
But then you have Bechira. So meaning there's decisions made up by God. Kishuv does not affect us, but people affect us. People can affect us. I want to say, to make a long story short, to get a Rav Dessler and to try to put it into a one sentence, right? To put it into one sentence, it's that people have the ability, so to speak, to supersede God's plan and change the plan from what it is. That's what Adam Rishon did before the Chait. That's what any person has the ability to do. You can choose to sin even though the plan is not for you to sin. That does not make you stronger or greater than God. It is just a fact of life that everybody has the ability to do so. That is Rav Dessler in one sentence. If you think that it's wrong, I'm fine with that. I just said one
so,
sentence.
So I understand the difference
that's
between
that. But that's that. No, no, it's still the same way. But magic cannot affect us. The Pamalya Shomaila can be affected by it. We cannot be affected. So if somebody tries using that magic against us, says the Ramban, not going to happen. A guy tries doing it, it's not going to work. Now, the truth is, this is not really the Ramban's Chiddush. It's a Medrash Tanchuma Yashan in Chav Gimel that says straight out, Bilam told Balak. He said, they have a Kohen Gadol. They have an Urim Betumim. These guys cannot be affected by this. It's not happening. These guys are unable to be affected by it. Any kishuv that they use against them, the Kohen Gadol takes care of. Kohen Gadol destroys and it's all gone. It's a Medrash Tanchuma, so forget about being a Ramban. This is an actual Medrash. It is impossible for us to be there. Now,
you can't do a spell where a branch of a tree will fall down and hit a guy, but the same guy who wants to do that curse could bring a baseball bat and whack him.
Yes, 100%. He could cut down a tree and cause the tree to come down, but he cannot say a spell to make the tree fall down. That's the line that's used where the Tosefis Bracha suggests that maybe, and this is a great line over here, this is because Bilam was with those Khartoum and Mitzrayim. He knew that they didn't work. He was trying all these magic. Everybody always asks the question, why in the world didn't the Egyptians kill Moshe? Why didn't they do it? Moshe's going up and saying, let my people go or they're going to be Makos. So kill them. Just kill them. What's the problem? So Rabbi Victor Miller says they were a civilized nation. But nonetheless, if they're causing so much pain, just kill them. The answer is they tried. Bilam knew it wasn't working. Everything he did against Moshe Rabbeinu didn't work. And they knew this was going to be over here. That's the pshat. The Bilam was able to say more than anything else. And you should know there's a Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yudim and Aleph. It says, man dekapid kapdinin alayu. If you're makbid about this stuff, you think that demons are affecting you, you think that ghosts are ruling over your body, that things are happening like that, kapdinin alayu. You're going to be affected by it. You will have ghosts, you'll have demons, you'll have poltergeists, you'll have all this stuff happening. Mandelo kapid, if you don't care, lo kapdinin alayu, this magic has no effect. So it's an amazing idea where you cause it or don't let it be caused. It's so to speak where the Jew himself can decide whether he wants it to be. Yes, Nathan. It's the same type of, same thing in the Gemara itself. Now, I personally, when I went to, guys who know about my son with the whole thing that he had with his leg, right? So when I went to Eretz Yisrael, I went to a bunch of Mekubalim. They all told me that there is an Ayin Hara involved, right? And I should be saying this one thing every morning. So I say this thing for Ayin Hara every morning. It's the Nuns, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. You can find it in certain Siddurim, not in every Siddur it has it. But they say that. Listen, I don't go to the Ayin Hara lady to like pop my bubbles, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Okay, if you've ever been to Ayin Hara lady, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, pop my bubbles does sound a little weird, so... Whatever. It is a crazy, crazy thing. I'm not so into that. But regardless, there are things out there. But mandalo kapit? No, that's the point. I'm not makbid. Lo kapdin alayu. So therefore, it's not going to be makbid. Yeah.
I learned the Gemara and Brachos that said, like, if you walk into a ruin, be affected by the ghost.
That's Gimel and Aleph, right? There's something like that, where there's something like Shadim or Mazikin that are out there. Same thing. It's the same line over here. Mandalo kapit, lo kapdin alayu. I always thought, and I don't know if this is true, I asked it to one of my Rebbeim, and he said he thinks it's correct. He thought of this as well. I always thought that the reason why the Rambam always says in Mori Nevuchim and in Kufayin Tes, Simon Kufayin Tes in the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he says that all this stuff doesn't exist. Shadim and Ayin Hara and nothing really, there's no real effect that it's not there. I always thought, and I said, maybe he wrote that because Manda lo kapit lo kapdin alai. So if the Rambam says, then it's eh. It doesn't work. So let everybody think that way. So when somebody comes along and says, what about the Gemaras? He's like, just treat it as eh. He's not arguing on the Gemaras. He's just saying, if you treat it as eh, it's not going to affect you. I always thought that way. The Rambam's not saying it doesn't exist. We have Gemaras that say that it exists. He's saying, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. And so to speak, the Rambam paskined that Shadim don't exist. If you paskin that Shadim don't exist, then they don't exist. That's what I always understood from this Gemara and Pesachim. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I have absolutely no idea. But for sure, it should apply by magic. That if somebody has magic and trying to use it, it's not there. Now, the Das Zekanim, Paneach Raza, and the Chizkuni, they all say that the word Nachash comes to the word Nisayon, to be tested. Nichashti, said Lavan. I tried. I tested you. And God bless me. So the word nach nichashti, the word kilo nachash b'Yaakov, there's no trials and tests on Bnei Israel. You don't even have to worry about being tested. You don't have to worry about this. This is not going to happen to you. These types of effects are not going to be there. And that's the line that Lavan ended up using over here. Now the Zohar says, and don't worry, I did not do Zohar. I'm not 40 yet. I've got 2 years, 167 days, and a couple, maybe 3 or 4 hours, right, until that time. But I'm waiting. It's happening. But the Zohar says from the Torah Shlema that Bilam knew this firsthand because of what happened with Lavan, and that he kept doing the nichush that he was doing, as we said before. Rav Schwab says the Gemara in Chulin Daf Zayin Mabez. Those who have done Chulin, you know what I'm talking about. Rabbi Chanina could not be affected by magic. You know why? He said the following three words: Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing else but God. If you're ever being affected by something, Ein Od Milvado is a tried, tested, and proven type of line that you say it no matter what, and it works. They say crazy lines of what happened to people in the Holocaust. Now, don't ask me questions. What if somebody said it and did? I don't know. But Ein Od Milvado is supposedly the most powerful line that a Jew can use. And you got to mean it. Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing but God. And it's a Gemara, Zayin Amud Beis, where Chanina could not be affected. The magic that everybody was doing on him, nothing happened. Why? Because Ein Od Milvado, Ksiv. There's nothing that can happen when a person has that type of idea. Once you start thinking that way, it's impossible for it to affect you. Now, the Maharshi Law goes into a little bit of a psychological idea that happens over here. It's literally the exact opposite of what I would have said. Okay, literally the exact opposite. So I'm going to tell you what it is, and then you can decide which one it is, because then I have the Ksav HaKabbalah, then it's even the Malbim that seem to argue with them over here. Here's what Maharshi Law says. There's human nature involved, and this is what the Ishbitzer does. The Ishbitzer is big into psychology and trying to get it. This is like Rav Tzadok HaKohen stuff. Getting into a person's head and getting in there, like getting in there. This is what Rav Tzadok does, this is the Maharshi Law as well. There are times when you have to trust yourself, and whatever you want to do, you got to go ahead and do. And there are times where you cannot. You can't do that. You can't trust yourself. Because sometimes you are being swayed by your own taivas and you don't even realize it. You have no idea. You would have no idea. Here's the line over here. He says the following. He said, if you're a person who is, let's say, a pure tzaddik, you're being mashlim yourself. And you see, like, every day you're working on yourself more and more and more. It's not a question of getting up for chakras. It's that I'm getting up early for chakras in order to learn beforehand and to make sure that I do everything right during that. When you're on that level, where you're being mashlim yourself, not shalim, because those are the ultimate tzaddikim, but I'm saying you're working on yourself constantly over and over and over, then he says that your instincts telling you what to do are good things. That's a good thing. It's not your taiva ruling over you. It's your desire to be better. So when you get an instinct to do something, you have to be nachash. He says nachash is to be stubborn. It's to say, I'm going with my instincts. I'm going to do what I think I should be doing over here. You can even act upon that. If you feel it should be one way, you're going to go ahead and do such a thing. However, there's another level, which we'll call it kesem. Kesem is your besuffic. I don't really know what to do. I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not, right? So I'm going to sort of like sit there and let it happen to me. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going to let a Kadosh Baruch Hu bring me in the right direction. I'm going to do nothing to allow myself, no hishtadlus, to bring me any further because I'm not positive this is the right thing for me. So you sit there and you're like, maybe I should do that, maybe I should do that. No. I'm just going to let it be. I'm going to let it go and let it flow, so to speak. Let God make the decision for me. The line is that if you allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make those decisions for you, you wouldn't be making a mistake. It's better to let yourself be brought into a bad situation than put yourself into a bad situation. That's the line behind it. So here's the line. Yaakov is a name used when what? When Bnei Yisrael are?
Yeah.
On a lower level. Yisrael is used when we are? On a higher level. Listen to the line. Lo nachash beYaakov. When you're on a lower level, your taivas are ruling over you. You cannot be obstinate and make your own decisions. You can't. Your decision-making ability is not there. It's like a teenager between the age of 14 and 19. He simply put does not have a brain. It's not his fault. It's been scientifically proven he doesn't have a brain. It's no offense. It just is. It is what it is. There's no way for him to make a good decision. He's literally missing his frontal lobe. So you go up there and you're like, that's a bad decision. He's like, I think it's a great decision. You can't blame him. He's an idiot. He's literally an idiot. It's not his fault. On the other end, that's Lo Nachash B'Yaakov. I am not saying that, but yes, that's the basic idea that how could you get Chayiv Karis? I'll give you Chayiv Karis for something when it's not your fault. How could you have made that? You can't make a decision that way. Lo Nachash be Yaakov. When you're Yaakov, you don't act as Nachash. You don't push yourself in that way. But lo kesem be Yisrael. If you're a Yisrael, and you have the ability to make the right decision, and you're going in the right direction, your guts are telling you to do this, that's a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep going. Lo kesem be Yisrael. You cannot stay put. You cannot stand pat and let things happen. You have to get up and do something, he says. That's what it means, lo kesem be Yisrael. There's no Nachash by a Yaakov. There's no kesem by a Yisrael. That's the line. The B'nai Yisrael know what to do when. They know when to act with Nichush, when to push themselves, and they know when to act with kesem, and to hold themselves back and allow it to be. That is an unbelievable line that the Me'ah Shiloach is using over here to tell you what type of people, what you should do in any given situation. Now, as a timeout, by the way, this is a famous line that the Ishbitzer uses all over in Rav Tzedakah Kohen as well, that if a person feels that he should be doing something, even if it might be an Avera, if a tzaddik feels he has to do it, then the tzaddik can do the Avera. And that's called an Avera Lishma. Remember that when we learned Rav Tzedakah HaKohen, that's a line that he uses. To use that lamaisa, it could cause tremendous, tremendous, horrific death, horrible things. I am not suggesting this to anyone to say like, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm making this. I'm going there right now. That's a bad decision. You don't push yourself to make a decision even if you think you're going well. Always think that you're a Yaakov. Always consider that you're a Yaakov. If a person is an unbelievable Yisrael, I mean, that has to be told by others. You can't think that to yourself. Like, I'm a Yisrael, I get to make these decisions now. No, no, no. Somebody tells you that you have, you know, Das Torah, then you can say, I've got Das Torah now. If you're the one saying, going to everybody like, no, Shimi, tell me your problems, I have Das Torah, I can help you, then you're probably a Russia. I'm not saying for sure, right? But that's not the guy that I'm going to. I'm not going to that guy and saying like, oh, you told me you have Das Torah, that must be true. I don't think that's what you should use over here. Now, the Ksava Kabbalah says the opposite, and this is what I always assumed, that Nichush is when you don't do anything at all. Nichush is sort of like superstition. I didn't do anything, and something happens. Like, if that deer crosses my path, I'll go to the left. If it's raining outside, I'm not leaving on this trip. Like, that's what I always assumed Nichush was. That's how it's superstition, right? Stepping on a crack, breaking your mother's back. It's never happened to me. Never. I'm pretty sure my mom never broke her back, and I step on cracks all the time. And, like, there's no question. I even, like, go like that, and I see no problems. The salt behind it, you know, spilled salt, whatever it is, that I always assumed is Nichush. You didn't do anything. It just spilled. You went under a ladder, whatever, like little things, stuff like that. But he's saying, the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying that. It seemed to be the opposite from the Me'ah Shiloach. Kesem is when you have to do something in order for it to happen. It's literally the exact opposite of the way the Me'ah Shiloach just said it. Then Itziv says something interesting. Rav Hirsch does as well. And the Malbim. But I'm going to skip that for right now. You have it on the sheets over here. But the Malbim and the Itziv have different answers for over here. Now, regarding the Ka'es line, what does it mean? Ka'es Ye'amer, right? Right now it is said, Li Yaakov Li Yisrael. For Yaakov and Yisrael, right? Ma Paul Kael. What is going on in God? So what does that mean exactly? So Rashi says the following. There is a time in the future where it will be clear to everyone that if you want to know what God is doing, go to the Jews. Ka'es, Ye'amer Liakov Yisrael. At this time in the future, the Goyim, the non-Jews, will come up to the Jews and they'll say, Ma Paul Kael, what's God doing over here? And we'll be able to answer. We'll be their Nevi'im. We'll be their connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where anybody that wants to know anything, you'll know it. Every Jew will know it. As long as you're Jewish, you'll have that ultimate connection that nobody else will have. Ka'es Yamir Liakov Yisrael, Ma Paul Kael. That's the line that Rashi uses over here. Not only that, even the Malachim will come to us and say what's going on. Even the Malachim will be below us. We're going to be above them, and they're going to ask us what's going on, and we're going to tell the Malachim what to do. V'tigzar omer v'yakim lach. We're going to make decisions, and Hashem is going to fulfill our decisions, and the Malachim are going to ask us, can you daven for us for X, Y, and Z? That's where it's going to be over here.
How is Malachim going to be happy with that? They weren't even happy they didn't get the Torah.
No such thing. A Malach cannot be happy or sad. A Malach does what it's supposed to do.
I thought there was a discussion before.
The Gemara in Peches, right, that mentions the Malachim saying, why are you giving the Torah to the Jews? It's because those Malachim were created to ask those questions in order to show us what to do. But not the Malachim have decision-making abilities.
I thought there was, in the beginning, before God created human beings,
Ma'enosh Kisus Granu.
He consulted with the Malachim.
Yeah, so we don't know what that means, but you're right. It was, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Malachim to ask the question of what to do in the world. But they are, simply put, a definition of a Malach is an omed, They don't do anything. They can't go any further from where they are. They are created to do exactly what they're created to do. The only difference is, and I'll just tell you this, if a malach becomes a human in form, if a malach takes a human form, like Raphael, Gabriel, Michal, when they came down to earth, right, when you have that, Shemchaze and Azol possibly, if they take human forms, then they can make decisions. But without a human form, it's impossible. They don't have the ability to make decisions.
What about the malachim that argued with Hashem and Hashem sent them down here and then they did both?
That's Shemchaze and Azol, right? If that's whatever that medrash means, right, that was Shemchaze and Azol, right, brought in that last week's parsha. The Rambam talks about this in Tilchus Tshuva. He says in Olam Haba, right, in Olam Haba, the tzaddikim will know everything of what's going to be and why it happened. Ma Paul Kael. Now notice, by the way, he's not saying that's after death. He's saying in Olam Haba, in the world where everybody's still alive, Tchias HaMeisim world, we will have information that other people won't have. We'll have information as to why things are happening and the what, and we'll understand everything. That's the gift that we're supposed to get over here. Bamei Barabba is the one that says that Malachim are going to ask us these questions. We're going to be on a higher level even than them. The Shach says it's because, simply put, we can learn Torah in ways that the Malachim cannot understand. The Malachim cannot get to the... They can't do Chidushim. They can't make Piskei Halacha. Bezin Shomata Paskins and brings it up to Shemayim. But they cannot do that. They're Omdim, standing where they are. We are Mehalchim, the way it's supposed to go. By the way, that's just the line. Atem Nitzavim Hayom. If you're standing there today, right, it's not as good as Vayelech Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Mahalach. You always want to be on the level of a Moshe, that you're always going somewhere, getting to the next level. That's why you see, who is the one that became a Malach? Does anybody know somebody who became a Malach? There's two of them. Eliyahu Hanavi, right? Eliyahu Hanavi is one. Who's the second one? What? Chanoch. Enoch, you should say. If you're doing it in English, you got to go Enoch. Because Enoch is probably my favorite English name of all time. There was a person that I met not too long ago in an Amish country whose name was Enoch. And I was like, no way! Like an actual Enoch! Is there a Methuselah? If there's that, all I want is an Ecclesiastes. I want to go to the airport one time and just hear somebody say, like, Ecclesiastes? That would be awesome. I haven't been Zilcha yet. I know. It happened once. I did ask my wife if I could name one of my kids' English name, if I could do it Ecclesiastes. Yeah. Guess what she said?
No.
Yeah, that was the least of what she said. The no. I'm pretty sure there were some other words after that. But definitely the no was there. Yeah. No question. I just don't know what order that was in. Regardless, right, the idea that's mentioned is exactly this. Chanoch and Eliyahu became Malachim above the other Malachim. Chanoch became the Sara Olam. If a human being becomes a Malach, so to speak, he's above the other Malachim. He's the greatest of all the Malachim. That's the pshat behind a human being great. When a human being gets up there, it's greater than anything else. Okay, there's awesome stuff over here about Torah Moshe, the Chassam Sofer, about Yaakov and Yisrael. I'm not going to go through this right now. Yerushalmi Shabbos in Perek Vav, Halacha Tes says, this is our reward. If you don't do nichush, you don't do superstition, you don't read your horoscope, you don't care about the magics in the world, you don't worry about that stuff, you don't think about it at all, you don't go to palm readers, right? You don't look up the books. I had one time, it was a summer, I usually read books over the summer, right? When I'm not in yeshiva, I read books that I would normally not be able to read otherwise. I don't mean like, you know, bad books. I mean like books on like chokhmas that we wouldn't do otherwise. One time, I was sitting there in the library, and I decided, oh, I'm going to get the palm reading and the forehead reading books. You know what I'm talking about? Like all those. I was into it. I was like, I'm going to do it. And then I sat there and I'm like, man, I'm going to be too cool. Nobody wants me to be that cool. So I stopped. No, I did. I said, I'm not so sure this is an Avodah Zarah. So I called. I asked the Shaila. And the Rav said, no. And I said, but. But he said, no. So I'm like, yeah, but it didn't work. So either way, regardless, I never did it. I never did it. But you can. Those who don't, this is the reward. The reward is, you get the reward that you immediately know Ma Paul Kale. You don't try to find out what God is trying to do. God will tell you what he's doing. He's going to tell you somehow. He's going to give you a dream. Somehow you're going to know what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is doing. All you have to do is challenge yourself and make sure you don't do it. That's the line of Ramita Kenegamita. It's Mita Kenegamita. You didn't want to try out and find out about the future? You'll get the future. You're going to find out everything you need to know over here. Chofetz Chaim says an amazing mashal. An amazing mashal to understand this, that even though you don't see it, it's there. I'm going to adapt it because obviously it's dealing with stuff that we're not fully there. An army regiment in Iraq is sitting there and they're told that the President of the United States is coming to visit them. They're told, The president is coming. Get yourselves ready. So obviously, everybody spends the whole day getting everything ready, shining their shoes, getting their uniforms completely, like, spotless with everything, right? And they all got themselves ready, prepared themselves for the president coming in. This is the president. They wanted to see the president. So they all stood there, right? And they all got in a big line, and they stood there. It's Iraq, and it's the summer, and it's boiling hot outside. And they're wearing their full uniforms, like everything there, right? They're sweating buckets. They're sweating. I mean, each one of them are just, they're sweating straight down. There's nothing they can do about it. The president was delayed, right? He's a busy guy, right? So there's stuff going on and he's not there. And they're all standing there in lines in the hot sun in the middle of the Iraqi summer, right? And there's nothing they can do. They just are waiting and waiting and waiting. And they're standing and standing and standing. Finally, one guy, he looks at, he's like, he can't do it anymore. He thinks he's going to pass out. He hasn't eaten enough. He hasn't drunk enough. And he's sitting there. He's like, you know what? I can't do it. I just can't do it. So he walks out of line. He says, I got to go back. He walks out of line. He goes back to his bunker, right? And he goes and he goes to sleep. He takes off his stuff and he goes to sleep, right? He wakes up a couple hours later. Of course, as soon as he went out, the President of the United States landed. He came down, saw everybody. He's so impressed with everybody there. He tells everyone, guys, I'm going to give everyone here a gift. Everyone here gets a gift. I know it's not enough. You're serving your country. You're doing everything you can for the country. But I'm going to give each one of you a gift. So everybody lines up to go get their gift from the President of the United States. Everybody goes there, and this guy gets in line sheepishly. He gets in line as well. As they're walking through, he says, thank you for your service, thank you for your service, thank you for your service. All of a sudden, this guy comes up, and he says, I didn't see you in line. Where were you? He says, I'll tell you the truth. I was in line, but I left early. I couldn't handle it. I had to go to sleep. So the President says, I understand, and I appreciate it. But the gift is only for those who stayed out in the hot sun to see me. The people who stayed to see me, those are the people who get this gift. You, as great as you are and as much as you've done for me, and I appreciate it, you don't get the gift. That's the difference. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the concept is right over here. The gifts are only for those who wait in line. It's uncomfortable. You're sweating. You're not going to be able to, you think you can't handle it anymore. But the gift is only for those that are there. That's the reward for those who wait to find out about the future, who don't want to stop themselves and go and take a rest and take a break or whatever it is. You push yourself to do more, this is your reward. This is the reward that you get. It's an amazing, amazing line over here. Now, there's a Targum Yonason over here. There's another Chofetz Chaim over here, Ma Paul Kel. The Ma Paul Kel is not what is God doing, but rather, isn't this what God does? It's almost like a statement that's over here in a Chizkuni and an Od Yosef Chai. But we don't have that much time. So because of that, we're skipping down to the bottom over here. The Ksav Sofer says, this is exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never destroy the Jews. This is what Bilam was looking at, and he's saying, Balak, we have no chance. At this time, even if the Jews would sin, even if they do something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not destroy them, because he knows what the nations would say. Lo hibit oven biyakov. Even when Bnei Yisrael sin, he doesn't see anything wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses. Lo ra amo biyisrael. He's not willing to look at anything that the Jews do. Said Bilam, my hope was that I was going to be able to look at the Jews, find their sins, remind God of the Egel Azov and all the Korach and the Meraglim and the complaints they had. I would remind God of that, and then what would happen? The Jews would be destroyed. That's what I wanted to do. That was my plan. But I'm looking at God, and God's like, nope, not a sin. Nope, not a sin. Lo hibit avon biyakov, lo ra amo biyisrael. He turned to Balak and he said, I got nothing. I can't do anything because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to destroy them. That's what it means over here as well. Ka'isi amer. They look at it, Ma Paul Kel, do you see what God's doing here for the Jews? He won't destroy them. No matter what they do, he won't destroy them. The name El is a shame of Rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Mechanun. That name of Aleph Lamed is a shame of Rachamim, not Din of Elohim. Ma Paul Kel, look at what God is willing to do for them. He's not going to destroy them. Yeah.
The only problem with that is, didn't he want to destroy them like many times?
Who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Yeah, and he said, I'm going to start over.
All of those lines. Now, you are right. That line would not go with this word. Unless you say that each time it was a message to Moshe to Davin. He was never planning on destroying them, but he was telling Moshe, and here's how you Davin. I'm teaching you how to daven over here. So maybe that's an answer for that. But I did have that problem when I read that Ksav Sofer as well. The Meshech Chachma says, this is Bilam praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he's seen. He can't believe it. He looks at the people. They went up 49 levels. I've always asked this question, by the way. What level were the Jews on when they left Mitzrayim?
Zero.
What was it? 49th level of Tumah, right? What were they when they received the Torah? 49th level of Kedusha. So did they go up two levels each time? They go to negative 49 to negative 47 and negative 45 because they had only 49 days. Or is it 50 levels and it's 0 to 50 and negative 49 is level 1? Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really don't know. So I asked that question to two different people. Both of them said the exact opposite answers. One said it's two levels each. The other one said, no, it's 0 to 50 and 0 is negative 50. Right? I just don't know. I have absolutely no idea. I'd love to see an answer to that, somebody that says it straight out. But the Meshach Chacham was saying, how in the world could they have gone that far? How'd they do it? There's no way they could really do it. He's looking at them and seeing they just defeated Og and Sichon in last week's Parsha. Two huge giants. They were sitting in a Nani Akavah. They're eating man and they're drinking Be'er Shomerim. Says Bilam, Ma Paul Kel, what is God doing for these people? What did they do to deserve this? And the answer is, these people? Nothing. These people did not do it. Who did? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did it. And the Shvatim. And the great men of Klal Yisrael. And that's it. There's no other reason why this would happen over here. There's no other reason. It just doesn't make any sense in any other way. We're going to end with this Gra and a Yalka Ruveni. Yeah.
Wait, what about Matan Torah? I mean, they have the Torah. No matter what, even if they're learning one pasuk,
I think that's the line that Bilam was using. I know they have the Torah. They didn't deserve to have the Torah. And even now they don't deserve to have this Torah. It's ridiculous. So granted, they have it, but they didn't deserve to get it in the first place. So why did they get it over everybody else? What was with them? They had everything else. And the answer is Kosavos. The Gra answers this Yaakov Yisrael business. It's an amazing answer. An amazing, amazing answer. He says, the Gra says, when you daven for someone, right, you have to mention his name. You all know that, right? When you do a refuah shlema for someone, you have to mention the person's name, the son of his mother. If you want to daven for someone for something good, not necessarily for a refuah shlema, but for something good, you mention his name and the name of his father. When a person comes up to you and says, hey, daven that I can sell my house, right, because I really got to sell my house. So you say that person's name, Avram ben Terach. Right, you go ahead and you say the name, right, and we would have been there. I would have said Yitzchok ben Avram, I just didn't think of it quick enough. Either way, but you go ahead and you say that name and that's it. But you're supposed to say the name itself. You should know, said the Vilna Gaon, if you want to curse someone, you got to do it with the name as well. Curses only work when you mention the name specifically. You got to say the guy's name. You say, I want to curse Avram ben Yitzchok. And then you're able to do so. You have to actually say the name itself. So here's the problem. How is Bilam going to curse the Jews? He's going to mention all 600,000 names? He's going to go through and he's going to be like, Moshe ben Yitzchok, the Moshe ben Avram. What's he going to do? And you're just going to keep going? How in the world is he going to mention 600,000 Jews? He said, I'm not going to. I'm not going to curse the individuals. I'm going to curse the root that they all come from. The Shoresh that they all come from. Now, where do they all come from? Not Reuven, yeah. Right? Because that's not far enough. To Yaakov. I'm going to curse Yaakov. So he went ahead and he cursed. The first thing he did is he tried to curse Yaakov, but it didn't work. So he said, Lo nachash be Yaakov. I can't curse out the name Yaakov. So then he went ahead and said, maybe I messed up. So the second time around, that was the first set of curses. He tried cursing the name Yaakov, it didn't work. The second time around, what did he do? He said, I'm going to curse the name Yisrael. So the second time around, he tried cursing the name Yisrael. And again, it didn't work. And he realized that wasn't it either. Maybe he realized it's not Yaakov or Yisrael, it's both. It's not like Avram and Avraham, right? Where Avram is lost and Avraham is now the name. Maybe it's both. So the third time around, he cursed Yaakov and Yisrael. That's the line. He said, Lo nochash be Yaakov, I couldn't curse out Yaakov. Lo akesem be Yisrael, I wasn't able to give any curses by Yisrael. Ka'ace, now, yeah, merely Yaakov will Yisrael. I'm going to have to curse out Yaakov and Yisrael. But I got a problem. There is another name for Yaakov. Anybody know what the other name of Yaakov is? It's a strange one. Yaakov was called when he made him his bach, and Rashi says it straight out. Yaakov's name became El Elohei Yisrael. That became his name. El is a name. Aleph Lamed is a name given to Yaakov Avinu. As if he was godly, lowercase g, because obviously he can't be like Hashem, but he was godly. So he got the name El. He said, if it's the name Aleph Lamed, said Bilam, I can't do anything at all. So he ended up and he said, but if it's Kel, if it's Aleph Lamed, Ma Paul El. How am I going to be able to affect the name El? I can't do it. So he turned to Bullock and he said, I cursed Yaakov, didn't work. I cursed Yisrael, it didn't work. I'm going to curse Yaakov and Yisrael my third time around. But it might not work because their name might be El. And if it is, I don't have it. There's no way for me to do it. What's up, Jason?
You curse somebody with that?
Yes. Same way.
What does it do to like, that person?
So normally it doesn't do anything to the dead person because he's dead. But what you could do is you could curse, if he's the Shoresh, you can curse all of his progeny, all of his children afterward. That was the point of what was going to do. Matthew, what's up?
Could you go to Yitzchak if you knew it wouldn't work on Yaakov?
I think if it didn't work on Yaakov, it wasn't going to work on Yitzchak. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not there. Plus, he might have been worried. You curse Yitzchak, you curse Esav.
Yeah.
You don't want to curse Esav out, right? So you got to be worried about that. Maybe Bilam was worried about that, but I think that that was exactly it. He knew. If he's not going up to Yaakov and it can't even work there, there's no way it's going any further. I'm not going to be able to do it over here. The Yalkut Ruveni says Bilam tried, he brings down the Medrash Nelam, which is, again, the Zohar, but I'm not learning it from the Zohar itself. I still get a couple years, okay? I'm learning it from the Yalkut Ruveni, so it's okay. I know you're Sfardis. So you can. I can't. I'm just saying. It's soon. Just saying. My gosh, I'm going to be floating in the air. That Balak tried using Kishuv against the name Yisrael, and Bilam tried using Nechashim against Yaakov. Neither one of them worked. So it's almost like Balak and Bilam were working together to curse out the different names of Klal Yisrael in the same vein that the Gra is talking about, but it didn't work over here as well. It's amazing, absolutely amazing what happened over here. So what do? We learned the following. We said, number one, it could be that Nichush, this whole thing of Nichush, none of the Jews are into it. And because they weren't into it, Bilam was praising them. That's our first shot. Second shot is, Nichush doesn't work against Klal Yisrael. Ksamim, none of this Kishuv works against them in the first place. That was the idea that we got from the Ramban. We gave the psychological effect of the Me'ashiloch, when you should do Nichush, so to speak, when you should do Kesem, what kind of a person you are, a Yaakov or a Yisrael. Then we said the Ka'es, what does Ka'es mean? What's going to be in the future? How we're going to look at ourselves and what is going to be with us in the future, along with the other Rishonim that we said over there. The lesson from the Chofetz Chaim, the reward that we get for doing such a thing. Then we skipped over that Targum Yonis and we went to the Ksav Sofer of what's going to be that a Kaddish Baruch Hu will never destroy us. We don't have that ability to be destroyed. And then finally the Gra, why it's Yaakov Yisrael and Yaakov Yisrael together. Shkoyach, everybody. Have a great Shabbos.